to deliver what I hope is a relatively short invitation. I know I'm on the clock. But I think many of the men of this congregation can say this, that stand before you and do these invitations. They're oftentimes aimed at ourselves, just as much, if not more, than they are at the audience. And that is no different tonight. This certainly is aimed more for me, maybe, than it is for you, but hopefully you'll receive some benefit from it too. And while I was thinking about the topic to speak about tonight, my daughters, Lauren and Haley, were asking me in the car, one of them anyway, a day or two ago, "Dad, what are you going to talk about?" And I thought for a second, well, if I could put a mnemonic, or not a mnemonic, but a phrase, a little catchy phrase to it, I guess maybe I would call it "Cash the Check." That's something we all know about checks these days and banks and things. But before I get into that, I want to tell you a little story. And I think that may set the stage for the points that I want to make tonight, and then we'll draw some parallels. There was this town, and there was a beggar in this town. And he was walking on the street one day, and he approached a lawyer. And he asked the lawyer if he could dig into his pocket and spare a little change. And the lawyer goes into his pocket and starts jingling around and looks at the man, the beggar man, with his tattered clothes and dirty appearance, and scraggly beard and so forth. And he looks at him very carefully, pauses for a second, and he says, "Don't I know you?" And the beggar looks at him, and he says, "You should. We had a political science class together in college several years ago." And the lawyer looks at him again, and he says, "Oh, Sam, that's you. Yes, I do remember you." And he takes his hand out of his pocket, and instead, he gets his checkbook, and he talks to Sam about his circumstances, how he came to be a beggar. And instead of giving him change, he feels very acquainted with him now and rekindled spirits, so to speak, from college. And he writes him a check for $10,000 and says, "Sam, I don't care about your past. I absolutely don't. Let's forget about your past. I want to give you the $10,000 check because I want you to have a new start, a new lease on life." And then he hurries off and goes about his daily business. Well, Sam is excited at first to get this kind of a check, and then he goes down the street to a bank, and he looks in the window. And he looks in the window, and he sees these bank employees, tellers, and so forth. They're all dressed very nicely. And the appearance inside the bank is very clean and everything tidy and in order. And then Sam sees his own reflection in the mirror. And he sees how dirty and tattered and worn out he looks. And tears come into his eyes, and he thinks to himself, "They're not going to cash this check for me. They're going to think that I forged the signature." So he just walks away, very sad and very depressed. Well, a day or two or three goes by, and Sam is on the street again, and once again, he's approached by his lawyer friend. And this time, his lawyer friend looks and he says, "Well, Sam, what, didn't you cash this $10,000 check that I gave you? What's going on? Did you take it and did you use it for alcohol, or did you gamble it away or use it for drugs? What's going on?" And then Sam tells him, "No, I didn't cash the check," and he explains what happened to him, his experience at the bank, that he didn't feel worthy of cashing that check. He didn't think they would allow him to. And the lawyer says, "Sam, let me tell you something, friend. It's not your appearance and the way you look that's going to get this check cashed for you, but it's my signature. My signature on this check is what's going to get this check cashed for you. And so go on, Sam, and let's get this check cashed for you." And I guess when I think about that, I like to draw a parallel to us. Aren't we a lot like that beggar? I think Isaiah would say we are. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 64. Verse 6, we're going to read one verse there tonight. Isaiah describes the sinful condition of man in a very descriptive, I think, and a very truthful way. Here's what he says. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. I'm reading from the ESV. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. That's very true, isn't it? I mean, Isaiah says it's true. We're very much like that beggar in many, many ways. But there's good news. The good news is Jesus wrote a check for you and for me. And it's a check. You know, when we write a check, we better have money in the bank to cover that check. It makes that check valid. When Jesus wrote the check for our salvation, there's no greater thing. It is redeemed by His blood. There's no greater thing that far surpasses any check that we would write in this life. He gave His blood so that we would be able to have a right to be with Him in heaven someday if we would just follow His will. He wrote a check to cover the debt of our sin. And the payment for our sin cost Jesus His life. We can be healed of our sinful condition because He paid the price for sin. 1 Peter 2:24, if you'd like to turn there. 1 Peter 2:24 says this very thing. It says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. So, you know, as we look at our filthy rags, and I'm talking in a symbolic sense here, as we look at our filthy rags, how sin besets us from time to time, I think sometimes I have felt kind of unworthy at times, maybe. Maybe I need to stand back a little bit, I don't know, of cashing the check. You know, we don't feel like we deserve a fresh start sometimes. And I think that's the beauty of grace, though. We really don't deserve a fresh start. But because God loved us, and because God has mercy on us, He has allowed us to have a fresh start. He wants to give us a new beginning. We won't ever be able to earn this new life. We must simply cash the check. What makes God's check of salvation good is not our clothes or our appearance, but His signature. And it is the signature of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ that has signed that check. We just have to cash it. So what do we have to do to cash God's check of salvation? Well, Hebrews 11:6 tells us we have to have faith in Him. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we have to make that confession before men. We have to believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Acts 17:30-31 tells us we need to repent of our sins. And then, obviously, Romans 10:9, we also read that we're to confess Jesus, and then we're to be baptized. Acts 2:38, many, many other passages we could go through. We're baptized, we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. I think everybody in this audience, hopefully, would agree with that. Where does that redemption occur? It occurs in the watery grave of baptism. Jesus shed His blood in His death. When we are buried in baptism, we're buried with Him in His death, and likewise we're raised to walk in a newness of life. This is where we come into contact with Jesus' blood, is through the watery grave of baptism. There's no other place. If there is a place, brethren, we need... I'd like to see where it is. It's in the watery grave of baptism. That's where it is. So that, if you are not a Christian, those are the steps that are necessary for you to take, according to what I read in God's Word, for you to take to become a child of God, to cash the check. That's how you cash the check of salvation. If you have put on Christ and you have sin in your life and you feel like you could benefit from the prayers of this congregation, we would invite you, in either case, whether you need to become a Christian, in any case, you have to cash a check. You have the opportunity to cash a check of salvation. We'd invite you to do that now as we stand and sing the psalm that's been selected.